Welcome to the Oxley Bond MotoGP podcast.
Hello everyone, this is the Oxley Bom MotoGP podcast. My name is Peter Bom, and in this pod I'm going to explain you all you need to know about the Portimão racetrack in Portugal, where this weekend we have the next MotoGP race. Now, Portimão is one special racetrack. They call it a roller coaster. I know more tracks are called roller coaster, but this is the real original one and only roller coaster. It is because it's got more than 30 meters high difference, and we use that difference a couple of times in each lap. It's also wide. That's a good thing. You may not even always see where you're going to with such high difference, but at least you've got 40 meters wide asphalt to take your pick from where you go. Three times per lap, we have a blind entry of a very difficult corner. Top speeds, more or less around 340 kilometers per hour. This is more thanks to a high, fast last corner, because the first corner that comes after the start-finish straight is relatively slow, and it's got downhill braking, but more of that downhill braking and more over the start-finish straight. Let's do together one lap on the Portimão MotoGP track on a MotoGP bike. We overstart finish straight. We just done the out lap. Fresh set of tires. Nobody's behind us. Enjoy the fun. Over the start-finish straight, just hitting sixth gear. See the RPM needle rising, going close to 340 km per hour. Obviously, we don't see that. MotoGP dashes don't show speed. They show RPM and lap time. That's the most important thing you need to know. Once you find your braking marker and you use that braking marker in this lap, we brake. And the thing is, we brake as hard as we can, obviously, but you don't brake very effective in Portimão, because turn one, the braking area goes downhill. There's a drop in the track over the start-finish rates in the braking area. So the riders have to get used to not judging it by meters, but really judging it by memory, because when you judge it by meters, you're just too late, because braking downhill obviously is not very, very effective, because the main problem for a MotoGP bike in stopping the bike in time is the stoppie. It wants to go on its front wheel, and that's where the limit of the braking capacity is. So turn one, you're relatively slow on the brakes. You can't brake very effectively. Nobody else can. But at the same time, it's tempting to try and overtake at people. Now, most of the overtakes you see in Portimão will be in turn one. No panic. There's a lot of more places to overtake. Some of them are a lot more spectacular. We get there later. Turn one, maybe not the most spectacular one, but it's a very tempting one. It's very tempting because usually riders by instinct, they judge the distance. They think, I can brake that. So they brake after you, only to find out that the bike don't really, really, really stop. So usually it ends safe, because you don't always need to touch the other guy when you outbrake him and you're a little bit too optimistic. There's lots of runoff area there, tarmac. So yeah, turn one, you see lots of overtake action, but also lots of overtaking tryings that didn't work out very, very well. But like I said, there's a lot of asphalt there, so usually it doesn't end in great drama. We are in third gear to turn number one, keeping third gear to the fast kink. That's not even a corner number two. And then it's braking like hell to a very, very slow, one of the slowest corners from the whole race series this year. And it's a right-hander. And a slow corner brings a couple of problems with it. If it's really slow like this one, then the RPM, even in first gear, is that low that there is not sufficient engine brake anymore. So you as a rider need to be able to use the rear brake yourself. That's either a thumb brake, that can be scooter-style brake. Most of the riders still use the foot brake. If your foot, your right foot, your ankle, your leg is still good enough, you need to be on the rear brake very, very a long time and very, very deep into turn three. It's already a very tight corner, but the next thing is you need to turn in just a few couple of meters, because you can't exit and run it wide, because you have to stay on the right side of the track. After that, the track goes up and it goes to a fast left-hander. So a third gear corner, accelerating, fighting against the wheelie over the triple clamp yourself, short shifting it, third gear, over the left, and that's the first corner where you can easily lose the front, turn number four, because you go uphill there, but once you arrive into the corner, you're on sort of a plateau, which means temporarily for a short time you don't have all the load on your front tire. Just where you need it, it's for a short time not there. So riders have to pay attention for that. They will, but if you're a little bit enthusiastic there, you easily lose the front. Pick the bike up, shift into fourth gear, let it run out, sometimes even to the limiter on the very small back straight, as we can call it, up to turn number five, which is a left-hander. That's also a bitch. It's a bitch because it's off camber. You brake down the hill and the corner still is already down, is again downhill and a little bit off camber. So it's easy one to make a mistake. You always have to brake there a lot earlier than you think you do, only to find out when you're really in there and really turn it in, that it's still really closing up. That's a corner where you see also plenty of overtakes, but also plenty of overambitious overtakes that leads to crashes and people can take each other out there. That's going to be my biggest worry in the first lap of both races, turn number 5. I hope everything stays safe there. Accelerating, stay on the curbs on the right side of the track. Fast kink to the left, turn number 6. And then again, we go downhill to turn number 7. Fast kink again. It's only third gear, high third gear. But remember, this is the place where Jorge Martin had a big crash 2 years ago, broke a lot of bones. And he broke a lot of bones for a shit reason, because the gravel trap was a nightmare. The gravel trap in Portimão used to be full of rocks instead of stones. So the size of the stones was that big that people used to call it rocks. That destroys your bike, but it also creates, you know, you a lot more chance to get damaged once you're in the gravel trap. I assume they have it fixed this year because riders complained heavily about it. Turn 7. Short sprint to turn number 8. Again, it's all short sprints put together by sometimes tight corners and then the fast kinks. And turn number 8 is no exception. It's an overtight right-hander. It's second gear. Looks more like a first gear corner because the radius that we see it. But after turn number 8, we have an uphill part of the track that goes quite steep uphill. And if you do it fast enough, you move your body in the way, in a clever way, you can even jump the crash that comes after turn number 8. We all seen the pictures. Turn number 8, after that, you can do the jump. Watch Jack Miller in laps, he will jump. But that's a blind corner. It's a crest. But the most spectacular thing is not when you jump it, but when you're really fast on it. Because you go down from turn number 8 to 9, lots of meters going down, and 9 is a fast left-hander kink. You brake a little bit and the whole bike will compress and just wants to sit and go straight to the outside. But you have to bring it back to the left. So the ideal line is really close to the curbs on the right side, obviously. But pay attention. Many riders stay half a meter away from the curb because on the run to turn number 9, down, falling more or less down the hill from 8 to 9, they're not sure enough where the bike will really end up to be, so they keep a little bit of a margin. It's exactly one of these places where it's hard and difficult, not because people crash, it's actually not a crash corner at all, but it's so weird how the bike reacts and where it doesn't want to go suddenly. It's a situation that you don't experience anywhere else on any track on the world, as far as I know, definitely not on the MotoGP calendar. So for everybody, it's always new how the bike feels on that run into turn 9, which is sucking the bike to the ground, putting it front and rear suspension really low, and you have to still come back to the left. You have to accelerate, still in fourth gear, to over 200 km per hour, uphill again, up to turn 10, and turn 10, that's a bitch, because turn 10 goes to the right. You know, you see only tarmac and you see the sky, but you know, once if I wait until I see it, it's way too late. I will end up in the grandstand. So they have a brake marker already before they can see where they're going. They have to put it on their knee for turn 10, then let it drift out a little bit wide for turn 11, which is like the highest place of the whole track. Not radical running out to the wide, to the outside, keeping it tight. Again, it's all about the rear brake, what you do there. Let it fall down to turn number 12. Again, listen to my words, it falls down to turn number 12. Third gear, lots of G-forces again, and up we go to turn number 13, follow that. So I said roller coaster, I mean roller coaster. Once in turn 13, again, the entry is blind. You go up, you know after that it's to the left, but you can't wait until you see it. You have to already brake a lot. Once you see turn 13 in reality, it's still very tight, low RPM. You have to be really good with the rear brake to turn it very, very quickly, put it upright. It's also a place where it's a favorite overtaking place because you have to have a wide entry to do the ideal lap time, which can be like an invitation for everybody behind you. Just put it underneath you. He is also hard on the rear brake. Well, let's hope he is. And then both of you are a little bit too much to the right side, outside the ID line, but at least he took your place, a block pass, so to say. Turn number 14, a short straight from 13 to turn number 14, which is a double right-hander. Starts tight and then it opens up. So tight, in, but don't let it run too wide. Open the throttle, wait a little bit, and then it drops from 14 to 15. 15 is the last corner, and from 14 to 15, the track drops a lot. Once we arrive to 15, it's front brake and turning in, and then all you do for meters, for seconds in a row, you just lean on the front tire, and where the bike goes, that's where the bike is supposed to go with this setup. If you have a bike that has a tendency to do some understeering, you will end up really, really wide or can't even think about the throttle because you're already on the outside of the track. If you have a bike that's happy to have all the load on its front tire, then it will do a perfect line, allows you to really late close the throttle, lean on that front tire, and still exit turn 15 very well. So like I said, from 14 to 15 it's all downhill. 15, leaning on the front tire. Remember where to pick up the throttle with lots of lean and a good speed. Pick up the throttle, look for the drive from the rear tire. Once it's there, remember where to start really opening it, and you can't see where you're going. You have to remember when you start to open it and trust that your memory is good enough to let it run to the outside, and when the track goes over the crest and you see where you're going, you have to be very close or on the curbs. That's when you know you have the good exit. But at the same time, when you hit that crest, either just before or just after, is the moment that you have to decide to drop the rear right height of the bike, because that crest, it's fifth gear, the end of fifth gear. The third last corner is fourth gear, and when we go to the start finish straight over the crest, it's the moment we hit fifth gear. Badly timed or badly set up bikes start to wheelie when you hit fifth gear, and then the issue that the electronics will take away so much power just to control that wheelie that you lose a lot of top speed and valuable lap time. So exiting turn 15 is quite critical for your timing for the throttle, for your position over the bike, and for your timing when to drop the rear right height. If you got it all correctly, you have a lot better speed over the start finish straight, and if by now somebody was behind you, we will at least not be in a position to start to overtake you. So this is only one of the laps, and we need to do 25 of them in the long race on Sunday. So yep, it's quite a handful. You need a good memory, you need to have muscles, and you need to have a very, very good control of the rear brake. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for your time.